Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 288. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Ciao.
G'day.
G'day, and how you doing?
Yeah, not bad. It's not too cold today.
No, not yet.
It's all right.
But tomorrow,
it's supposed to get
the next
really
day, freezing.
I'm not that angry. Quite like the cold weather, to be
honest. Like super
with you.
Duper cold?
Not like snow cold. I don't know how I would deal with that.
No, we're not accustomed to that. Would you prefer cold during the day or the evening?
Evening.
Yeah.
If I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's nice when it's cold and you have to run around like hockey or something, because you don't get as exhausted.
Interesting.
It's colder. Yeah, you can run more.
When I used to jog, which was a long time ago and not for very long, when I would jog and it'd be cold, my nose would just run like tap that nobody turned off.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Which just was painful.
I've been there. I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
It's really dumb. So in the next couple of days, maybe nobody go anywhere and just stay at home and watch stuff.
Lockdown. 0.34.
Yeah, but without like worrying about getting anything.
Yeah.
Just you don't want to leave the house because it's too cold.
We'll call it snuggle down.
Snuggle down, everyone. It's time to snuggle down. I have got a few things that I've watched that you wouldn't have.
I've got a couple of things that I've watched that I don't think you would have.
This is brilliant.
Until she goes, yeah, I've seen this and I told you about it. I have to pretend that I remember.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like, yeah, I told someone else that I watched it, not you.
Ah,
but you know, in your head, you're like, I've told someone, so therefore it's worked. I've told everyone. I've got some news stories. One that I don't know if you've watched yet. I don't know if you've heard about it yet. Should we get into the news?
The podcast that believes in pyramids of greatness. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
This is from Deadline.com, and the headline is Vanderpump Rules Season 11 sets filming start date. And Layla Kent says it's giving Lala says it's giving her anxiety.
Yeah.
So did you hear about this story? Do you know what this is, or you just know?
I knew. So I, during Scandival, I started listening to Lala Kent's podcast.
Of course she's got a podcast.
She was on to it. I think they've all got a podcast.
Probably.
But I chose her because she kind of, I mean, she toes the party line when she needs to, but when it's a grey area in the rules, she'll go for it and she'll tell you everything. So I quite enjoyed her podcast, and she was saying that, yes, season 11 has been picked up. Yes, they're being given dates.
Of course it was going to be.
And I think the reason why she's saying she's getting anxiety is they only just put cameras down from season 10.
Oh, so didn't get a proper break.
Yeah, well, they did get a break, but then Scandival hit. They picked cameras back up, then immediately went into reunion filming, went into that whole publicity craziness of Scandival, and now they're going straight into season 11.
Yeah, okay. She said that we start filming this week, so they're filming on Wednesday. So, well, but when this episode comes out, it's Wednesday in America.
Yep.
So they're filming today. And she said, they sent us like our schedule, I'm quoting, of what our schedule may look like. It's subject to change, and I'm like her, we're really like in it again. We usually have so much time to kind of process. Things change a lot, but it's like, nope.
Bang.
Straight back in.
But they have not released who is going in.
Oh, what do you mean?
They haven't released the cast.
Does the cast change much?
Well, I mean, we can only assume that the main ones say on the good side. You know, of history of Scandival will continue. But will Raquel / Rachel, who was part of the affair, we don't know if she'll return or not.
What about the Scandagot?
There is rumours that he is, because he's in this really bad band called Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras or something stupid like that. And he's been doing a tour. And I think he was hoping that Vanderpump Rules would follow his band on tour. And obviously the show has gone. So his band has cancelled a whole bunch of dates.
Wow.
So clearly he's back in.
Yeah, he needs money.
He was only doing his concerts were like during Scandival were empty, and then when it was getting really juicy, everybody was going and people were holding up signs, just quotes when people paid him out at the reunion, like "You're a worm with a mustache." And they had that on a poster at his concert.
That's great. That's so good.
So I think he'll be there.
Yeah. Okay.
Raquel/Rachel, not sure because she's supposedly in a mental health facility.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah, right. Maybe she was hoping to sort of gain strength again in time for the next season. But suddenly the season started and she's like, well, I'm not.
Perhaps.
Who knows?
I think she's a troubled young person.
That's not good. So will we get season 11 sooner? Don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you might. Mm. I mean, when you're on a hot thing.
Ride on those coattails. Yeah, why not?
Absolutely. I couldn't see anything about when it would premiere, so watch this space,
they
I
do
guess.
Usually film over the summer.
Okay. So, oh, so they look summery and fun. Yeah. Yeah, I get you. John Hamm.
Yes.
Who was in Mad Men and everything and a lot of others. He's been in lots of other stuff since then. But he is now married. He's married his wife, Anna. They married earlier this week at a ceremony held where the finale of Mad Men was filmed.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So it was.
I can only think that was intentional.
Oh, it has to be, right? So Anderson Canyon and Big Sur. I know a lot of people like going to Big Sur. Apparently it's a nice area of the northern Pacific. In the US, west, like on the west side, west side. But they walked down the aisle to the theme song of James Bond's "You Only Live Twice," and and it just sort of suits that Mad Men era, like from the when would that have been? Late '60s, maybe early '70s. I'm not too up on my James Bond movie chronicle
soundtrack dates.
Do you want me to tell you some of the guests at the wedding?
Elizabeth Moss.
It doesn't say.
Oh, okay.
I hope so, though.
Yeah.
But includes good friend Tina Fey.
It makes perfect sense.
Doesn't it? They would have the same sense of humour.
Wasn't he in?
He was, he was the
doctor.
The doctor who was accident prone.
He was so beautiful that nobody cared, but he was so dumb.
Billy Crudup was there.
Yep.
Paul Rudd. John Slattery, who was in Mad Men as well. Larry David, Brooke Shields.
Wow.
A whole heap of people.
Oh, I wish I was there.
I just want photographs.
You wouldn't care what table you were sitting at, would you?
Well, no, because you could look at the other tables.
Yeah. You're either with them or you're sitting with the cousins and you're able to talk about all of the people at the tables.
That's what you want. Then
you can go over and be like, hey, like, you're the celebrity. Can I have a selfie with you? Whereas if you're sitting on the table with them, probably can't do that.
Or what you do is if you're on the table with them, hey, guys, we should get a table shot.
Yeah. Yeah. A photo of this table. Ellen DeGeneres at the Oscars this.
I think this is the first marriage, I think. Has he been in a marriage? I don't know.
Has he been in a marriage before?
Has he been in a marriage before?
I've no clue.
I'm not sure. There's no way of knowing either because I'm not going to look it up. I think he just had a long-term girlfriend.
Well.
And they didn't get married. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
The song that they walked down the aisle to, you only live twice.
It does kind of allude to, Oh, no, it says he previously had a long-term relationship. He actually had a previous long-term relationship with an actress and filmmaker, Jennifer Westfeldt. That's right. Okay. 18 years they were together.
Yeah, okay, wow. So that is a lifetime.
That is a lifetime. But now he's decided to get married.
Onto a new one.
Congratulations. Well done.
John and Anna.
Good, solid.
Solid names.
Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Bond, everybody wants him to be Bond.
Don't we ever.
Olivia Colman. Everybody wants Olivia Colman in to be just being
stuff. She could be M. She could be M.
She could be M. But we can't.
Not yet.
Dame Judy.
You have to wait.
Yeah. Woody Harrelson, he's always good. Always very good. So these three names and Glenn Close are the names of actors who have featured in a short film launching King Charles III's YouTube channel.
I was not expecting you to go that way.
YouTube channel.
I'm mildly impressed.
I'm going to go straight on there and watch whatever that is.
Yeah.
Not the other videos, probably just that one. And just be like, why Woody Harrelson? Why Glenn Close?
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought it was a bit like, you know, those airline safety, I was about to say ads, they're not an ad, the safety videos.
Yeah.
And they've done ones where they've got all the famous people doing it. I kind of thought you were leading with that.
Like British Airways or British something Airways. Has done it. That's amazing.
And then when you said King Charles, I was like, yeah, like it would be the same sort of feel until you reminded me about Woody Harrelson.
Well, it does sound completely out of character, but there's going to be different short docos on there about, you know, how he loves the environment and that kind of stuff. So it's that kind of thing. So I can imagine he can get some actors on there.
I think he could get
instead of saying, hi, I'm the king. Do you want to talk about how great I am? He's not the queen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the queen has been around for so long. People would go, yes, but he's the king. And they're like, well, what's it for?
Yeah. He's got a different ethos.
Yeah, he does. Different generation.
Different generation.
He'd be a baby boomer, right? He's a baby boomer.
He's a boomer.
Yeah. He's a boomer. What was she? Did they even have a name? Did they even have a name for generations before the
Queenies.
Boomers?
Queenies. Oh,
because they say like the Elizabethan era or Edwardian or something.
Post-war?
Which war?
Just any of them.
Yeah.
Then it's post.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is a classic film that we always liked, and we liked so much so that we would go out onto the lawn, lie down, pull the lawn apart and look to see if we could find any little humans in there. We never did.
No, and I would lie down on that lawn and just desperately wish that I would be like zapped to minuscule.
Be down there.
Please let me play in the grass.
Why do you use the grass as a slippery slide?
Slippery slide.
It's like so much fun.
I mean, we thought it was fun, but having watched it again a couple of years ago as an adult, it was a bit scary.
It was scary.
You know, like they risked drowning, huge blades coming towards them.
Yes, right, the lawnmower.
Animals, whereas we were like, slippery dip.
Isn't that... Almost got eaten by the parent in the cereal.
Almost
remember the Cheerios?
The
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Josh Gad is doing a little update about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids reboot, which is just called Shrunk. And he's going to be in it along with Rick Moranis.
Mm.
And he said, a lot of you asked me what's going on with this film. And he said, the truth is we're inches. Get what he's doing?
Yeah.
We were inches from starting when COVID hit. Inches from starting again. And then my schedule exploded with conflicts. Oh, what? Just say you're popular. It's fine. Yeah, just stop with all of that.
You know, I would have been more impressed if he could use a smaller unit of measurement than an inch.
Centimetre. Well, because I was smaller than an
millimeters.
Inch, right? Millimetre. It says inches from starting again and then the budget got the best of us. So I wonder what happened with the budget. Were they making it bigger than Ben-Hur or... I don't know.
I don't know.
He suggested on Twitter that if people really want this reboot to happen, so now I'm worried. Is this not going to happen? That they should people should tweet or message Disney and let them know that we want it.
Okay, here you go, Josh. If you want people to tweet, just tell the true story. Don't speak in cryptic riddles that people go, well, what was it? What do you mean? Was it your timeline? Was it your busyness? Was it the money? What are you talking about? Just say Disney said, nope, we're not paying that and we'll fight for you.
I actually have a lot of time for that because I realized years ago that more than one excuse is a rule. Yeah, as a rule is a lie. So if you say, I can't go out because I've got to wash my hair, I've got a lot of homework to do and my mum won't let me.
Yeah. Which one
Just use
Life's
one.
Life's not that tough.
Just also, say one. If you just say one, that's the only one you have to remember. Yeah.
If you say mum won't let me, everybody goes, oh,
yeah. Oh, it's out of your control.
It's out of your control.
Hi, got shrunk. Ah. You got a crazy scientist dad, do you?
You've got 48 hours in the backyard, don't you?
It's fair enough, I understand. Do you want to get into some watching suggestions?
Yes, I do.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right, what you been watching?
I have been watching a stellar show.
Called Stella.
Wish, but it's not. And I know I'm not the first to this one. And
you won't be the last.
I won't be the last, okay. But I really want more people to get on board with it. It's called Pieces of Her. Now, it's a Netflix original. It stars Toni Collette.
Oh, yes.
David
yes.
Wenham. Catherine McClements, who we would all remember from Water Rats.
Yeah.
A bunch of other people, Bella Heathcote, Jessica Barden. It is a wonderful, wonderful show. Now, there's only maybe 8 episodes, something like that, and it's set in Atlanta. I've read a few synopses about it, actually, and one in particular had it wrong. Were they not How do you paying get attention? It, or
like really, really wrong?
They had the whole setting of the like pivotal scene completely wrong. That's but I so thought weird. They've just made that up.
That's so strange.
Anyway, Andy's turning 30 and she's gone out for lunch with her mother. They bump into a few other people they know and an incident happens and her mother turns very surprisingly violent. And that just escalates and unravels a whole backstory. The story does flip from past to present the whole way through, but I find it really easy to follow. It's
okay.
Very,
yeah,
very
good. So it's good storytelling.
It's a great storytelling. And the casting is great because you know exactly which character is who, past and present.
Yep, yep.
What is interesting is it's set in Atlanta, but a very keen Sydney eye will recognise some locations and it was actually filmed entirely in Sydney and New South Wales Central Coast. So I probably took me about to maybe episode 4 before I went, that's the Sydney International Convention Centre.
Oh,
and it was literally
right.
One corner.
Hilarious.
One corner of the convention
and
centre.
And it's not even like a place that you go to every single day.
No, not at all. But I went, that looks so familiar. And before that, I kept saying, there are so many Aussies in this.
Wow, so many Aussies have moved
Australian.
Off to
They're
LA.
Australian. He's Australian too. And there are some great little bits. They've done a wonderful job at the filming and the location choice. And they're saying that most of those places are San Francisco, but they're up at U Minor on the Central Coast.
Right, okay.
They use a house in, I think it's Vaucluse or somewhere in the eastern suburbs. But how they film it is so cleverly, I guess, shot
you don't
and
get
angled.
Enough gum trees.
You don't get enough to even notice. And it was only when I went digging to check that I was right that
right.
was Sydney.
Yeah, okay.
Then I'm like, oh, yeah, that was. Anyway, it is a great, great program.
That sounds fun.
It is based on a book, which always is a great recipe for a fabulous series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And is the book one of, what's her name, the one that does all the Big Little Lies. What's her name?
Leanne Moriarty.
It's not her?
No.
I just thought because it was Australian, but then they've said it somewhere else. I was like, oh, I wonder if it's her. But maybe she can't be as prolific as that because I feel like a lot of her stuff has been made into TV shows recently.
Yeah.
Well, at least within the past few years. And in order to write a good story, it's not going to feel like 6 months is not enough to come up with something like
that. No, it's based on a book by Karen Slaughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Have you watched all of it?
I haven't watched all of it.
Good. You can go.
So I'm still.
Yeah, when you're talking about it tonight, you'd be like, oh, I can,
yes.
Yeah, I can go and enjoy it. Well, I decided that I should go back to the land of the Walking Dead because their spin-off Walking Dead, Dead City with Negan and Maggie kicked off on Stan, not Foxtel.
Ooh.
This time, at least within Australia. I don't know about overseas. And I thought, you know what? It's been a while since I've seen The Walking Dead. I didn't bother watching the second half of the last season. I was just like, done. And then there was Fear the Walking Dead and I went, nah. I thought, all right, if this is, it's apparently a one and done season, so maybe I'll give it a go, give it a watch. And the bit that interested me was that they were going into Manhattan.
Oh.
Can you imagine how many Walking Dead are in there?
Yeah.
And you see Maggie trying to, you know, get there and there's just zombies all in the water. All around it, yeah. But at least I've only seen the first episode, but within the first episode, she's still annoyed with Negan. I mean, it makes sense, right? Because he did hit her husband over the head with a baseball bat till he died. But
yeah, you probably would be a tad angry.
But they've had that conversation for about 6 seasons now, approximately, probably not that many.
Some stage you kind of just, I mean, you might not forget, nor do you need to forgive, but you kind of just got to drop it.
Also, do you need to be around each other? One of you could have gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you're back in it together.
You don't like each other, go separate ways.
So it's just him the whole time just trying to show that he's proved that he's changed. He's not who he was anymore.
Until she gets married to someone else and then he unleashes.
I didn't know I loved you until. Baseball bat. Lucille. Anyway, the first episode was fine. I think maybe I enjoyed it a little bit more than I would have simply because I haven't seen one for ages.
Mm.
So it was nice to sit there and watch it.
Yeah.
You know, the really close, confined spaces, because a lot of The Walking Dead ended up being out in the field or out in the woods kind of thing, because that was just, that's just where they were. So it's nice to have an enclosed thing where they are not
constantly under attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so there's a lot of rooftop living, it kind of looks like, which reminds me of that game, Dying Light 1 and 2. I thought was interesting. So I'm going to keep up with it just because.
Interesting, because maybe it's my impression of what you have thought over the years, but it seemed as though popularity of it has sort of ebbed and flowed.
Oh, definitely.
So it is interesting that they're doing another spin-off.
I know. There's one where Daryl is going to go somewhere in Europe or something. I just don't know how he's going to get there. Actually, there was a really short little teaser trailer and it was him lying on a capsized dinghy, like unconscious. And I was like, you're going to get all the way from one side of the Atlantic, right? One side of the Atlantic to the other on that?
Probably not.
My heart will go on. What else have you been watching?
I went into watching season 2 of
Season 2?
And Just Like That.
Oh, great. I'm glad you started it.
I did start it. And I have thought and thought and thought about it over the last couple of days since I watched it, and I have heard that there's been a bit of criticism about it, that it's very much an unapologetic rich person's show. You know, the majority of them have no money. I mean, Sex and the City. They have no jobs, but they're, you know, dripping in designer and all of that.
Hello, Real Housewives.
Yes, exactly. So I thought about it and I thought about it and I've come to the conclusion that a lot of the time when we watch things, the show has to come to us. We're very unforgiving and willing to embrace something unless it's amazing. So the show has to be so captivating and mesmerizing that it has to come to us and grab hold of us. I feel like And Just Like That has set the line. They've drawn the line in the sand and they said, this is it. This is us. You come to us. And so as a viewer, I hope I'm explaining this right, you've got to just accept it and embrace it.
And do you think that they say that for a couple of reasons? One, this is the story that they're telling. And two, this is the legacy that they're bringing.
Yes. Yes.
You know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting. And there is a change. It doesn't have, to me, it doesn't have the same feel that Sex and the City had. you know, the characters are still there. They're still kind of doing the same thing, but there's a few other new characters in there. But to me, it feels like a bit of a pantomime.
That interesting.
The delivery of the lines is a bit showmanship.
Yeah.
A bit wanting to have a punchline, but it's not a punchline.
I'm Charlotte. I'm about to say a Charlotte line.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And Miranda has probably had the most transformation over season one and into season two. And she is insufferable. Oh, my goodness, she's annoying. Whereas she was an annoying person, but she had, I don't know, I felt like she had reason to be annoying. She was kind of that, I've worked really hard. I'm a really incredible lawyer.
And I'm still working making my way up.
Yes, and I'm working in a male-dominated industry in Manhattan. Yes. She had sort of something behind her now she's not working. She doesn't work. No, she's not sort of doing anything apart from being somebody's new partner.
Okay.
And the thing she says is like, oh,
You've changed, Miranda.
Stop. Anyway, I am going to stick with it because I feel like I have to. I feel like I'm on board.
Obligation of the nation.
Obligation.
Well, I think I'm not going to stay with what I started because I'm just not into it.
Okay.
In fact, KT from For Your Reference podcast put it beautifully, and I quote, meh. Oh. M-E-H.
Yeah.
Meh. It is the series on Disney of The Full Monty. Do you remember the film The Full Monty?
Yes.
It's got the old cast and they're back, but it's a series. And do you know what it feels like? A soapy.
Oh, no.
It's missing all of the charm of the film. And now it's just like a admittedly, I didn't watch the film again before I jumped in, but I've watched some of the film since.
Doesn't hit the same way.
And the film has that feeling. The film has that feeling like Calendar Girls, like Brastoff, like even Save the Cinema, like The Full Monty. They were all feel-good films with charm and, you know, you just want them to win. And this is just like, you're kind of annoying. Yeah. Like, what are you doing with this dog?
This is the exact same feeling as And Just Like That. That's like, Sex and the City had a charm to it. Like
it did, definitely.
You embraced it and, you know, the fashion and the wealth was there, but it was kind of in a way hidden. I mean, apart from Carrie spending thousands of dollars on shoes.
But it was all she spent money on. She was poor. She spent all her money on that.
Yeah, she didn't own a property. She didn't buy food, you know, nothing like that. But yeah, that charm was the heartbeat of the show, of the series. And I think that's exactly the same thing. Like, that's probably where they've hit that roadblock is how do you recreate that charm?
Yeah, how do you recreate it? How do you? And I don't know. Maybe the story, I've gotten halfway through the third episode. Maybe the story does lead to, hey, let's get the band back together for Full Monty Part 2, which I assume it's going to, right? Like it has to.
I'm surprised it got to episode 3 and they haven't. Like, isn't that what the whole premise is?
So I think one of the main problem for this one is it should have been a film.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's too long.
Yep.
The setup is too long.
Yeah.
Should have been a film.
Is it set now?
Yes, it's now. So they're all still living around each other and have the whole time. So it's not like a reunion. Kind of like Sex and the City.
Yes. You know, yes.
They've all been, you know, we're just coming back in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. If you really love The Full Monty and you think, geez, I would like more of that or more of those characters.
Is that what it is, that it's too slow because we have to catch up 20-odd years?
Maybe that's what it is.
But then do we have to?
Maybe we don't. I feel like I watched The Full Monty, the original film, without having to understand what happened in the first 20 years of their lives.
Exactly.
So I think maybe it might be time for a quiz.
Gosh, I love a quiz.
You're going to love this one. I'll give you a clue. Da 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 da. Here's a story of a lovely lady
who is bringing up three very lovely girls.
That's it. It is the Brady Bunch. We're going to have either individual characters' quotes or just a few lines from a little scene, and you've got to tell me who you think's in there.
This is pressure. I can't tell you the last time I watched the Brady's.
No, you haven't watched it for years. It's fine. The first one is a good one. You're going to be like, ugh. Alone, we can only move buckets, but if we work together, we can drain rivers.
Mr. Brady.
Yep, 100% Mr. Brady.
Shut up. Stop giving me a lesson, a life lesson.
I'm not a snitcher. I just tell it like it is.
Cindy.
How many years do you think?
Oh, no. I was kind of like any of the Brady kids could have said that.
True.
Like.
No, but she was a tattletale, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was. I think it's from that episode. Yeah. Where she's the tattletale. Okay. Three Brady kids.
Yeah.
So you don't have to say who's who.
Okay.
You just have to tell me which
one. The three.
I don't trust you. You stole my girl. I did not steal your girl. You did. You guys should stop arguing. I'm getting out of here.
So it's the boys, Greg, Peter, and Bobby.
And Bobby, of course, is the one who's like, stop arguing. I'm getting out of here. I don't care.
I'm seven. I don't care. I
could not care less about the stupid thing you're saying.
I don't remember that episode at all.
I don't either. I wouldn't mind watching a couple again, actually. It'd be quite fun. Okay. You ask a foolish question, you get a foolish answer.
Oh, Mrs. Brady.
Oh, Alice. Yeah, that was very good. That was very clever. I thought I was going to stump you with that one, but nope.
Sort of half.
Okay. One character. Something suddenly came up. Oh, my nose!
It's Marsha.
It is Marsha. Which they did that exact one in the film, the original Brady Bunch film.
Oh my nose!
Mum always says, "Don't play ball in the house."
Peter,
Bobby. But yeah, I would have. It was a boy. It was definitely.
Peter was a bit of a snipe, you know.
Yeah, that's true. He, do you remember the episode where his voice changed? They decided to sing a whole different song at the it was like a TV show talent competition. Want a piece of licorice? This is two kids. Yeah, I bet you do. And then the sibling doesn't give it to the other sibling.
I have no clue.
Cindy, want a piece of licorice? Bobby, yeah. Cindy, I bet you do. Little brat.
I have no recollection of that either.
Right. Yeah, same. It's pretty hard to fix a broken heart.
Oh. Is that Greg?
No, it was Marsha.
Oh, Marsha.
Last one, because I've forgotten how many we've done. Cindy, so it's not Cindy. Cindy, you know by tattling on your friends, you're really just tattling on yourself. By tattling on your friends, you're just telling them that you're a tattletale. Now, there's a tale. Now, is that the tale that you want to tell?
Oh, I can hear the voice.
I remember it from the movie.
Mm.
Cindy, you know by tattling on your friends, you're really just tattling on yourself. By tattling on on your friends, you're just telling them that you're a tattletale. Now, is that the tale you want to tell?
Yeah. Look, good it quote. Could easily be Greg because Greg was growing up to be his father, wasn't he?
He really was. You know? Both got the perm at the same time.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. That was a wonderful quiz, and what a wonderful time to reconnect with one of the greatest sitcoms of the 60s and 70s.
It is the GOAT.
It is the GOAT, the Brady Bunch. So on that note, thank you very much.
Jam, jam, jam.